It's difficult with the thought of losing her because of what she has meant to our family. To give you a little history of my grandmother was a very young bride. She and my grandfather married at the ripe old age of 15 or 16 years old. She was a war bride. She was pregnant with my dad when her husband went off to war and gave birth to my father, and when her husband was still at war. She raised five boys. The significant thing about that was that raising those five boys, my grandfather came home from the military and was a farmer and worked in industry. But my grandfather was not a member of the Church of Christ, was not a baptized believer, a Christian, until he was in his 60s. He was a good man. But that was not something that at that point in time in his life he felt he needed to do or could do. So for all those years, my now 94-year-old grandmother took all five of her boys to worship. She got them all ready on her own. And on Sunday mornings when Grandpa would leave and go fishing, she'd grab all five boys and get them in a car and take them to worship. And they were there on Sunday nights and they were there on Wednesday nights. And she studied the Word of God with my dad and my uncles. And that had a huge impact on their lives. My dad was a minister for 40 plus years because of his mother. I have uncles who served as elders and deacons and ministers in the Lord's church. My grandmother did all this so many years by her own, but she was a very strong woman. She understood the importance of making sure her children understood the relationship of God. Thankfully, before he passed away, my grandfather was baptized. My dad had gone to visit with him many, many times, and Granddad just didn't want to talk to me about it. And finally, Dad just said one more time. And he went and talked to him. And for years, what had been holding my grandfather back was my grandfather was a smoker. And Granddad just never felt he could be a smoker and be a child of God because he was willfully harming his body, he thought. And he just didn't think God had any mercy for him. But Granddad had gotten cancer, and Granddad was healing from that, and Granddad was trying to quit smoking, but it was a very difficult task for him. And my dad finally understood, Dad, I need to talk to you in a totally different way today. I need to talk to you about God's grace. That we're all sinners, and we all do things wrong in life, but God knows our heart. If God knows that we are trying and we are genuinely trying, but we still struggle in life, God's grace is sufficient to cover us. I'll never forget getting the phone call of saying, get to the church building in Marmaduke, Arkansas. We're baptizing Dad. And my grandmother and my grandfather lived for the last couple of years of his life of both of them worshiping together and spending time together as God's people. After my granddad passed away, my grandmother was single for a while, and then she married Emmett Smith. And a lot of you will know that name. You saw that in the video this morning, the presentation. Emmett was the founder of Crowledridge College and Crowledridge Academy there in Paragould. Had a huge impact on Christian education in our area. And Emmett and my grandmother married after his wife passed away. At a very older time in life, Emmett and Grandma started to travel, and they traveled to other countries, and they traveled to Romania and other places like that, teaching the Word of God and using her abilities and her knowledge of the Scriptures to go out there and continue to teach people. So you understand what I say, that when we know that my grandmother is coming to the point of ending her life, it will leave a huge hole in our family because of who she has been. She has helped raise her children and her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. We all are great spellers because of my grandmother. She taught us all to play Scrabble. And a few years ago for her birthday, we bought her an iPad. And we should have never done that. Because all of a sudden she discovered Words with Friends on the iPad. And at any given time, she'd have 14 or 15 games going with all of her grandkids and great-grandkids and people like that. She's a wonderful woman. But the peace I have in knowing that my grandmother is at the end of her life is that my grandmother is ready. My grandmother has prayed more than once, God, If it is time, then I am ready, then take me home. And she is at total peace with that. The other thing that I think about my grandmother, though, is I have a great blessing in my life of because of what she has left behind. Of what she has left behind for her family, for the community of people that she is around, for our world, because of the work that she has done in other parts of our world through teaching God's Word. And that's why today the lesson I want to do, I hope it won't go long for you, but I just think it's on my heart. It's from a brochure that I picked up a couple of years ago. I was at a funeral in St. Louis, Missouri, standing in the church lobby, and you have some of these brochures out here by Allen Webster. And there was one that caught my eye, and it's just simply entitled, What Will I Leave Behind? And I picked it up and read it and kind of put it away, but as we've been dealing with my grandmother, I've pulled it out, and I've read it a little bit more, not because of her and her life, but because of my life. And what will people say about me, and what will I leave behind when it's time for my time on this earth to be over? Because you know, we're all appointed once to die. Scripture tells us that. Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, and it is appointed for man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So this is something we have to prepare for. I've always thought it interesting that we prepare for so many things in life that may never happen. We buy insurance policies in the event we get some illness. We buy alarm systems for our homes in the event that we may get broken into or there may be a fire. We all do all these kinds in the event that something might happen, but we have no guarantee that it will happen. But the one thing in life that we have a guarantee that will happen is sometimes what we spend the least amount of time on. We are going to die. And we are going to be judged by our God. There's no question about that. It will happen. And how will we be prepared? And what will we leave behind? This morning I want to talk about just a few points of what I think are so important for us in this life to think about. Of what people will remember about us when we're gone from this life. And the impact that we have, and how we will be remembered. The first thing I think all of us want is what I call a full eulogy. And you know what I mean when I talk about that, don't you? We go to funerals, we go to visitations, and we see people who have passed away, and we sit in a funeral, and we stand up, and we go through the eulogy, and we talk about all the things that that person did in their life. And don't we want people to say great things about us? Don't we want to be remembered well? Don't we want lots and lots of people to be present at our death, to come and mourn with our family and to care for our family and to be grateful for the relationship they had with us in this life, and that we will be missed because of who we are? How do we have a full eulogy? I think the Scripture lays out things for us that help us understand what it means to provide a full eulogy out there in our world as God's people. And I'm talking about this not from a worldly standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint for us in our lives. A passage that we could have talked about this morning, James 1:27, of how we practice pure religion in this life, of caring for widows and orphans. And by doing things like that, we're adding to our eulogy out there of how people remember us and how we care for one another and provide for one another and be there for people in their moments of need in this life. We talk about the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, and we know this passage so well, and I want to read it to you this morning. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And all those things that we do for others and we care for each other, we are remembered. And we provide a full eulogy. Have you ever been to a funeral service where no one showed up? Have you ever been to a funeral service that was a difficult one because it was difficult to find anything good to say? I have been. And I tell you, it's hard. It's hard on the family. It's hard on anybody else who is there because it was a life that wasn't well lived. And in essence, was a life that was forgettable. And I don't think anybody here wants to be forgettable. I think we want to be remembered by how we have cared for and loved and provided for people as God calls us to do. We all want a full eulogy. We also all want a good name. A good name is so very, very important to us in this life. And you understand that. There are names that we say out there, and when you say these names, you kind of cringe a little bit. When you say things like names like Hitler, when you say names like Herod, what do we think of? We don't have good thoughts, do we? Because of how they lived their lives and how they demonstrated life by the things that they did out there. But leaving behind a good name leaves so much behind to our families. Our families don't have to hang their head in shame because of things that we did that weren't good in life. We've left them something to be proud of. And Scripture tells us that in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. Don't we all want to leave behind a good name? When our name is spoken, that people automatically have wonderful thoughts of who we were and what we did in this life. That we've left behind, a legacy and a heritage for our children and our grandchildren to carry on. That we have set something in motion out there. That we have a name of honor. We have a name that people are proud of. We also want to leave behind a faithful family. I look to my grandmother and see that so beautifully, of what she did with her children. She started at a young age. And that's scriptural as well. And again, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. My grandmother started at a very young age training her children. But she didn't just stop there. She continued training her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren. I can't tell you the number of times that I would go and spend the night with my grandmother and we would have devos with grandma at home. And she would read Bible stories to us and going to worship with her in Marmaduke, Arkansas, where she worshiped for so many years. And all the things that she did to continually work to put us in the presence of God. She understood the importance of a faithful family. And that for us to have faithful families, we have to be actively engaged in doing that. My grandmother also understood, and has understood now until she's been 94 years old, that her job of being a mother and a spiritual importance in the lives of her kids did not stop when her kids left her home. That even at the age she is right now, with her oldest son, now 76 years old, that she still needs to be actively involved and concerned and praying for his spiritual life. Because she understood that as God is our parent, God being the example of the ultimate parent, God never forgets us and God never gives up on us. And God is continually wanting us to be in His presence and following Him. And if God is the example of the ultimate parent, then shouldn't we pattern our parenting after Him? and how we care for those who come after us. But she also understood that it is something we have to start when they're very young. It's not something that we can pass by the wayside and not give a lot of attention to until they get into their teen years and early 20 years and get out on their own. It's something that's got to be early and consistent in their lives. And my grandmother understood that. And I'm thankful to say that my grandmother will leave behind a faithful family. A family who respects her and honors her because of what she has done for us in this life. The other thing we all want to leave behind is a strong church. I think we don't think about this a lot, but I think it's something we need to spend more time on. Will we be missed when we're gone from our churches? Will we leave a hole? Because of all that we have been doing and the work that we have been doing and the help that we have been given, that when we are gone, we've left a hole there. I hope nobody in this room would be one of those people that when they pass away, it's hardly noticeable because they just didn't do much in the work of the Lord's church. We can all be involved in the work of the Lord's church. You don't have to stand up here to be involved. You don't have to teach a Bible class to be involved. There are so many things that we individually can do out there to further God, finding our ways to do it. So that when we leave that hole in our churches, we miss those people. And we long for them to be with us, but we also have enough respect for them that we are also figuring out what do we do to carry on the work that they were doing. I see so many times in churches people who did works for years and years and years, and they pass away, and the work just dies. Because there's nobody willing to step in and fill that gap to continue doing that ministry that's so important in that church. Part of our responsibility is to leave behind a strong and faithful church that will continue on after we are gone. I see this a lot. We have a lot of churches that support the ministry at children's homes, and a lot of these churches are in little small communities where businesses moved out and there's no industry there, and the kids grew up and went off to school and moved, and all that's left there are aging members of the church, where churches were once 100 and 200 and 300 people are now sitting there with 5 to 10 people. And we're just a few months and years away from that church no longer even being there. Because there was nobody there to carry on and to continue the work of the Lord's church. That's a role that we all can fill. And we need to work diligently to be able to do that. And the last thing we leave behind, I think, that we want to work to leave behind are saved souls. Are people who have been brought to Jesus Christ because of what we have done and who we are. Because of how we have lived our lives, because of how we have taught people, that we will leave this earth knowing that there will be more people in heaven with us one day because of our efforts of being God's people. I tell you all this morning because I have the most wonderful example in my life of a woman who did all this. And in the last days of her life, I think about it a lot. And I think about how do I carry on? How do I continue what Grandma started? And I tell you how I do it. I just do the things she taught me to do. And I be the person she taught me to be. And know with full assurance that when it's time for my life to end on this earth, that like my grandmother, I can have great peace in my passing. I went to see Grandma yesterday. before I left Perigal. She's not real alert. She's a little bit. You catch her at certain times of the morning after she's had breakfast and she's a little more alert to where she can communicate with you. But every time I've gone to see my grandmother over the past week and a half, I always ask her the same question when I leave. And I always ask her, "Grandma, you want to pray?" And she feebly nods at me. And I pray a prayer that is probably the hardest prayer I've ever had to pray in my life. I pray for God to take my grandma home. Even though that I know that it will cause me such great pain in this life, I also know she's ready to be with God. And I would never stand in her way to be where she has lived to be for her eternal life. To be where she has worked for her entire life. And so even though it pains me in some ways to pray that prayer, it's a joy to be able to pray that prayer with her. To just simply say, "God, answer Grandma's prayer and take her home to be with you." This morning, can you pray that prayer? Are you prepared in this life to pray that prayer? Sometimes we have things that happen in life through illness that is an extended period of time that leads us toward the moment that my grandmother is in right now, and we have time to prepare for those things and to reconcile some things in our lives. But sometimes tragedy happens. In a moment, our lives can be over. A drunk driver comes across the center line of a highway and hits you head on and kills you. A tragic accident at work takes the life of someone. Someone is diagnosed with cancer that's so far gone that in 2 weeks from their diagnosis, they're gone. Tragic things happen that sometimes we don't have time to prepare for, which means we must always be prepared. Whenever it is our time to be called home. This morning as we close this worship service, if you have things in your life, if you have sin in your life, if you are not even a baptized believer this morning, I pray for you that you will change those things, knowing that you have full confidence to walk out of the doors of this building able to pray the prayer, "God, take me home," in full assurance that God will take you home to be with Him for eternity. This morning, if we can help you in any way, would you come as we stand together and sing?